From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The last time producer Scott Rudin was on this program, it was 2008, and he had two movies up for the Best Picture Oscar, No Country for Old Men, which won it, and There Will Be Blood. This year he also had two nominees, The Social Network and True Grit. And now, in this year's Tonys for Broadway plays, there are nominations for four Scott Rudin productions, including The Book of Mormon. That's the big Broadway hit of the season, nominated for 14 Tonys. It is a cheerful and incredibly vulgar musical about Mormon missionaries who take their unbounded optimism to a disastrously poor Ugandan village, which is ravaged by warlords and HIV.
Hello, my name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book.
Hello, my name is Elder Grant. It's a book about America a long, long time ago.
It has so many awesome parts. You simply won't believe how much this book can change your life.
Hello, my name is Elder Green. I would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ. Hello.
The Book of Mormon risks offending Mormons, Ugandans, HIV patients, you name it. So the brains behind it should be no surprise. Robert Lopez, best known from Avenue Q, a musical with foul-mouthed puppets, and Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the guys behind South Park. Producer Scott Rudin has worked with Parker and Stone before and insists there is a line in comedy that the Book of Mormon does not cross.
I think the line is unadulterated meanness. I think that's the line you don't cross. What Trey and Matt and Bobby are very careful in this show to satirize only what they have a larger idea about. It's not scattershot jabs taken randomly. Mm-hmm. It's all to make a larger point about doctrine and religion and faith and belief. So they have a very specific reason for the profanity and a reason for the obscenity, and it's all in service of a much larger idea. And I have never been in a situation where I felt the slightest lack of trust that they would cross a line. By the way, I personally, I'm not so sure there is a line, but they believe there's a line.
They believe there's a line.
Yeah, and I think the line is offense for its own sake. I don't think that's what they're about.
That there should be some, in the way we think of Marx Brothers humor, having some point to it all.
I think it's Marx Brothers. I think it's Swift. I mean, to me, it's very, you know, it's like the satire in Gulliver's Travels. I think it's like Perlman. It's very scabrous. It's take no prisoners. But I think the secret weapon in this show from the very first workshop I saw of it, which is now almost four years ago, is how open-hearted it is. It makes a very, very positive point about faith and belief and self-sufficiency, and it embraces a whole idea of community. And I think for people who think it's only going to be obscene, they get this extra thing that I think they haven't counted on, and that's why I think they walk out so happy.
Thinking of the titles that I just mentioned in the introduction of No Country for Old Men, The Social Network, there's something common to all of this? I mean, there's something to things that you produce as improbable as the capsule description of what they're all about might be, that there's a common germ to all of them that you say, that's what I do, that's a Scott Rudin thing.
No, I think the common germ specifically is writing. I mean, I come from the theater, so I'm writing-oriented, language-oriented. One of the things I really value about having worked in the theater for so long is that when you do a play, you cannot write your way out of a problem. You create a problem, you have to solve it in the room. You only have those four walls. You can't cheat. And I like the kind of irreducible honesty of that. You know, figure out what is the math of the story you're telling and how do you tell it. And the math of everything is different.
How many balls do you have up in the air right now in terms of plays or movies that you're
producing?
We have
these four shows running. We're finishing a movie with Stephen Daldry. We're shooting The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, shooting a Wes Anderson movie, starting a Noah Baumbach movie, and we're making a pilot for HBO with Aaron Sorkin. So those are the main things.
Those are the main things.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a few sort of in orbit around those, but that's the stuff that's, you know, on the docket.
Obviously, there's a range here of how deeply involved you are in these in these projects. Some of them, these couldn't all be full-time jobs that you're doing.
No, of course not. That's right.
And on the scale of, I was a little involved and helped them raise money to, I was in there up to my neck, where does the Book of Mormon stand?
Much more in the in there up to my neck part of it, but that has to do with kind of why I wanted to do it, frankly, which was, you know, I love working with Matt and Trey, but also it was the culmination of previous work we had done. I mean, I felt when we were doing this that the South Park movie and Team America were, in a way, dry runs for the Book of Mormon.
On Broadway, we've had the story of two musicals over the past year. Spider-Man, the most written about, anticipated, huge, big, high budget, I gather, production.
Mm-hmm.
Disastrous.
You can say that, honestly. I mean, I think Spider-Man got off to a very rocky start, but I went back to Spider-Man last week in the sort of new version, and I think it's hugely improved.
Really?
I
mean,
one of the things that just in terms of context, you can't fix something profoundly once you've started. I mean, you only get those 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. You get 16 hours of rehearsal and tech in which to turn a show around. Mm-hmm. So you have a show that's really in trouble. You're going to likely stay a show that's really in trouble. The smartest thing I think they did, and I really admired the nerve of it, was to stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, I mean, look, you know, I'm doing this movie with Stephen Daldry right now. We're taking a 3-week hiatus because we found something in the story that we didn't anticipate, and we need to rewrite some material in the last third of the movie to take advantage of what we learned.
Have you gotten a good Mormon turnout for the Book of Mormon, by the way?
I mean, yeah, huge. Yeah, yeah. I mean, astonishingly so. I was sitting at one of the last previews. I was sitting in the last row taking notes, and this man who was there with a bunch of kids and a row of kids in front of him as well, mm-hmm, turned to me and said, "Are you a critic?" And I said, "No, I'm the producer of the show." And he said, "My grandfather was the president of the Mormon Church." Mm-hmm. And I left the Mormon Church after my mission. I did a mission in Africa. I left after the mission, and I married a Jewish woman, and I live in Montclair, New Jersey. And he said, "My kids know nothing about my upbringing, and they've learned more from this than they've known in all their lives with me." And there was a hilarious moment in the second act where, in the sort of big song, I Believe, when the Elder Price sings, "I believe in 1978 God changed his mind about black people," mm-hmm, this guy sitting next to me grabbed my arm and said, "That was my grandfather." But he had tears running down his face. I mean, it was so personal to him. It was very moving.
Well, Scott Rudin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me back.
Scott Rudin, a producer. He is the producer of 4 plays that have Tony nominations this year. We've been talking about one of them, the musical The Book of Mormon.
Now I must be completely devout. I can't have even one shred of doubt. I believe that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that he sent his only son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon. A Mormon just believes.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.